Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of Exodus. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. You know, that whole idea of really not respecting who the Lord is, really at the core of it, that's what it really represents. It's not just the cuss word concept that we go to in our minds, which I think is important to be mindful of, but it's really to be taking that name even by which you and I have been given, Christian, in vain. You know, we represent something. Now, we're going to fail, I understand, but we still represent something. And the truth is, what we represent is the truth. And the truth is that we will fail, but we have a Savior who loves us and whose grace and mercy will cover us and atones for our sin. We have hope beyond all hope in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that's kind of exciting for us, and we're to be careful with this. Then, the last one of the first four, this is the fourth one, and this is as our relationship relates to God, man to God, our relationship with God. First four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and he rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The concept here is, this is the only one that is a non-moral command. This is the only one that's not a moral issue or command. But what it does deal with is a certain bent that many of us can have of one day rolls into another and the next day rolls into another day and we're just pretty busy every day. And we don't really keep track of the days except for we know when Wednesdays and Sundays are and we just days roll together and you just got stuff going on and you don't really think that you need to kind of air yourself out a little bit. It's good for you. You know, just air out. Let things kind of clear out in your mind, rest your body physically. These are good concepts, truly, for us as a principle. Now, the other idea is that God knows that there are those that want to gain more by putting in the extra day. And what happened when they did that? The people of Israel paid a steep price. It cost them a lot of years of bondage because they didn't respect the Lord. And they didn't respect the Sabbaths, and they harvested, and they ran their fields harder than they should have, and all those things. He said, for every year that you did that, you owe me that year back. And God got it back. You know, the land lay fallow. God got because it's his land. It's his. It's his stuff. You want to respect that? You want to honor that in the Lord? We are not in bondage as New Testament believers to that necessarily, but I think it's a great concept to accept and think through and make sure you spend some time. I find that as I get a little bit, you know, a couple more miles on me anyway, I'm still quite young, you know, but my mind still thinks so. But I do find that what used to take me like 4 or 5 hours of just kind of downtime, air out, takes me closer to 24. You know, I used to be able to kind of just kick back, relax, you know, take a nap or something, wake up rejuvenated, and now I'm all better again. And, you know, it's a little more closer to 24 hours than it was the 4 hours or 5 hours before of just kind of shutting everything off, you know. It takes a little more time. The concept's real. It's good. It's helpful to us. Now let's get into man and with man and our relationship with one another. Why are the first four first? Because if the first four are first, you're going to have the next six are going to work out for you. First four need to be first. If you have a right relationship with God, you're going to be able to have a right relationship with other people. Vertical, first. Horizontal, next. What a good concept. Good thing. Good rule of thumb to keep it tucked away. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So that you might have long days. You might have a longevity of life. Well, one reason, if we went to the simplest point, is that if you did not honor your parents according to the law, as we get into it a little further, you sass back to your parents, I'm not taking out the trash. But that's it. Out to the city gate. They're not willing to take out the trash. Okay. Boop. Over there, we stone them. They're dead. It was capital offense. You know, you didn't diss on your folks. You didn't disrespect your parents. You did what you were told, and that was the way it went. Oh, man. No consequence. You live in the world we live in today. It's just the way it is. Honor really means to add weight to the words of. That's what it means. Kabod is where we get the word, and it's to add value to what somebody says. Your parents talk to you, and you're to like listen up double as much, you know, and do what they say. Add weight to or value to what they've told you. And I think that's what a great rule of thumb. What a good thing to remember. What a great concept. I can't think of the number of times I went to chapter 20, verse 12 as a parent. Just kidding. But it's a good thing. You know, and I'll tell you something. I think if we aspire to follow the Lord and we're sincere about a relationship with God, I can assure you, your kids see that at any age, at any stage. So some of you may say, well, I didn't really handle myself that well when the kids were younger. Well, that's okay, because I know that God, at any age and at any stage, it's very important if you've still got young ones around you, that's great. But even if they're older and even if you got grandkids, it's still an opportunity to be a parent that is worthy of recognition in the sense of, in a godly sense, in an honoring sense. And I believe in time there is the hope of God's working through and that being revealed, and that those would return back to the Lord that maybe are at a distance from the Lord. And so there's hope. I think that's something to encourage ourselves in. You shall not murder. You say, well, that's a good one. I haven't killed anybody lately, so that's good. The thing is Jesus went through and painstakingly kind of broke some of this down for us. And if the Lord wills tonight, we'll at least kind of highlight some of those things. But he said, that's a matter of the heart. You brew up hatred for somebody. You see, if you really dislike someone, you can start to have this view of that person. And in your mind, you can kill them. They can be dead to you. You just don't interact with them. You don't speak with them. They're dead to you, you know. And people can do that back to you. You know, that it's a matter of the heart that God's dealing with. All of this is a matter of the heart. Then he goes on and says, you shall not commit adultery. So we know that sexual relations outside of marriage, God did create sex. It's a positive thing. It's a good thing. But it is meant for the marriage bed, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. And so anything outside of that then is considered adultery. Anything in advance of that is fornication. And so it's spelled out pretty clearly, you know, in the scriptures. And he says, hey, man, God doesn't honor that. That's something that he doesn't want us to do. You shall not steal. Can you imagine, think back to the heartaches that have gone on throughout life because of verse 14, the type of heartaches that go on. I know many would retract life and certain things and change. You shall not steal. Now, we think of stealing, you know, the bigger ticket things. They hopped in the car. They drove off with my car. I don't have a car. They stole my car. You know, we kind of go to the bigger ticket concept. But, you know, we need to look in the mirror of what this really represents. You know, theft is theft. And, you know, that's what it is. So let that land as it lands. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And that idea of misrepresentation. You know, it's kind of sometimes bearing false witness and everything, because it's kind of twisted. It's a real perversion sometimes, because it's almost, it's like saying that you saw something happen and you're representing it and you're saying kind of a truthful statement to some extent, but it's not really representing the whole of what really went down. You get what I'm saying? So it's kind of that half-truth type thing. False witness. We're not to bear false witness. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. And this is interesting when you get to covet. We'll talk about this in a second. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox or his donkey, nor his car, nor his boat, nor his motorcycle, nor his bike or anything else that he's got. You're not to covet it, okay? And what is that idea of covet or being covetous? It's that idea of burning with passion and desire to have something that someone else has for yourself. You want what they have, and it's a burning desire. How much of our world is spinning on this concept of covetousness? Most of the commercials you see on TV are packed with that. They're pulling at your base desire and your lust, which leads to coveting, you know. You want and you try and aspire. This is the concept of the flesh. The flesh seeks what it wants. The mind plots to get what the flesh thinks it wants. And so the mind is busy at work trying to get what the flesh wants. And this is the covetous process that goes on and that all of the world is playing to through most of commercialism and what we see in materialism today. You deserve it, you know? You know, they tell you that. You deserve that. And if you drink a certain, you know, type of beer, you're going to get those kind of girls and guys hanging around you. You know, you may even get the jet ski that goes with the commercial. You don't know, but it's possible. So, man, go for the gusto and, you know, really live life to the fullest and, you know, hang on to that porcelain throne and, you know, as you're a commode hugger. And, you know, it doesn't lead to good things. We know that. But this idea of being covetous, there's another dimension, if we'll just peel this back a little further to this. It also is revealing as a believer, as a follower of God, as the nation Israel, as it was to be the people of God. And we're just kind of pushing this out into us as the people of God too. The concept is the same in that when we are covetous and when we allow ourselves to start going that route and becoming... This is the thing to me. I think it happens in our minds. Kill it before it grows is all I can say. You know? Just kill it. Get rid. What did Paul say? Crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. Why? Because if it goes much further, you'll start acting out on it. This is the danger with pornography and some of these other areas of sin, is that eventually it's not just the lust with the eyes, it goes into eventually actions, some kind of actions start to take place. You start manifesting certain things. This is the problem with this. The other aspect of this is it reveals a complete dissatisfaction with the provision that God has made for your life, whatever that is. You know, and we again... We talked about this not too long ago at a men's breakfast in one of our devotions. We kind of touched on this because as guys, a lot of time, and women too, we have a certain element of drive. There's a driving mechanism, you know, for certain things in life, you know, and we have certain ideals that we perceive to be successful or goals or whatever that is. And obviously we all know as Christians, some of those get adjusted and tweaked a little bit along the way, don't they? You know, and we start thinking that, well, that was pretty important and, you know, that's not quite as important as it was before because God's more important now. And, you know, and God just has a way of rerouting things in our lives, and that's awesome. I think it's wonderful. But I think that drive mechanism that's in us is good when it's channeled in a right direction, when we're giving it over to the Lord. And the Bible says, keep your zeal serving the Lord. You know, it's important to let that drive be a good thing because what happens is we become disquieted. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. When we have a lack of contentment, we were using Samson as our illustration, you know, and he kind of lost his sense of contentment. He wasn't content with, you know, the vow of the Nazarite that he had taken and just being committed to God. And he wasn't content with being the strongest Hercules-y kind of guy that he was, you know, and being this buff, cool guy. That wasn't enough for him. He had to be something more and find somebody else and get caught up in all kinds of sin and stupidity, right? And it cost him ultimately his life. True. But the idea here is he somewhere, that drive mechanism kind of slipped a couple of cogs and started spinning the wrong direction. And the driving force was going at other things other than the things of God. He was no longer content with being just a godly guy. He wasn't content with that anymore. And he started spinning off and doing all this other stuff. The pool of energy is going to do something and go somewhere and might as well keep it going the right direction. Channel it wisely. I think that's the caution that's there with this. Because really, covetousness is that dissatisfaction with God's provision. There is nothing wrong with saying, hey, there's this job opening. It's a couple of notches past where I'm at right now. And there's nothing wrong with praying about that. There's nothing wrong with jumping through a couple of hoops if you've got the time to do it, and it's not compromising your walk with the Lord. Jump through a couple of hoops and take the extra tests, maybe a class or two, and move forward. There's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. I'm not quenching that kind of thought process of moving forward in a career or something, but I think you'd be wise to say, if the Lord wills, I'm pursuing this, and if the Lord has this for me. But are you content today? Godliness with contentment is great gain. Good stuff to think on. Just all you have to do is think about Grandpa Taylor. And just think about Grandpa Taylor. And when I challenged him as a young man, I asked him, as he's an old, he was always old as dirt as far as I knew. You know, he was just always an old guy, Lowe's granddad. And we'd be wandering out in the desert. He had about 5 acres, and it was up against, national, sanctuary. So it was all, just open land, but the acreage bumped up against, so you could just walk forever in the desert. And certain times of the year, I know it's hard to believe, but the desert is pretty certain times of the year. And we'd be out walking and talking and carrying on, and I asked him and pinned him down, yeah, so when do you think you were most happy, what are the happiest times of your life? And man, he just laid it on me hard, man. And I've told you this story before, but just think on that about godliness with contentment was great gain. He said, when I first married Gertrude, Lowe's granddad's wife, her grandma, Gertrude, when I first married Gert, we were sharecropping. I worked for this old boy. He's got the southern accent. He's from Alabama. He goes, I worked for this old boy. And he owned a lot of land. And I'd work for him at the pulp mill, paper mills, the pulp mill. I'd work for him at the pulp mill. And then he allowed me to have a little place, a little shack on the land. And then he gave me so many acres that I could farm, just a few acres. It's just dirt farming, with critters and stuff. There was no equipment. And he says, man, those were great days. And then he went on, he keeps elaborating on this. And he goes, I'd remember walking down the trail after working hard all day. I'd be walking along the trail, and I'd hear and we've got a little beagle, so I know what, dogs like this sound like, it's bawling. He's got something treated. Next thing you know, pew, here's the .22 go off, He goes, ah, man, he goes, and Gert, he gave her, seriously, this guy get twinkles in his eyes, man, I'm serious. He go, Gert was a good shot, and he go, I knew we were having meat in the stew that night. It wasn't just biscuits and maybe some kind of stew stuff you're just slopping up. There was actually going to be meat in it. He'd get squirrel, there was going to be squirrel in that dinner, And this is and he says, and he goes, I look back on it. It was simple. It was easy. And it was some of the best days of my life. And then he was serious as serious could be. That's awesome. Godliness with contentment. They walked, down around the corner to the little white chapel that was the country chapel. And, that was their life, Other than that, they worked hard and, gosh, what a great heritage. What a great heritage. When he passed away, that's what I did. I read out of the family Bible, man. I read about she had a stillborn. One of her first children was a stillborn. She jumped off the porch it wasn't the first, it was one, maybe the next child, because she was looking for the other one, and she jumped off the porch trying to make sure, because there's a big squall coming in, we get twisters here too, the same thing down there, and she jumped off the porch trying to find one of the other little one, and the jolt did something, and it caused the baby to be stillborn. But, it's recorded in the family Bible. This is the record of their life. This one was born, this one got married, this happened then, this went down, this person died, this went on. What an awesome heritage. Recorded in their scripture, in their Bible, we don't necessarily live this way today, and I know that, but this is many years ago, but this is where the godliness with contentment is great gain. That guy never wanted for anything, was not a covetous man, didn't have a whole lot. Lived a great life, a full life. Knew personally, intimately, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. That's radical. Watched them grow up, even the great-grandchildren. Was old enough to watch them grow up. That's a powerful thing. That's a wonderful thing. Well, he's with the Lord now, and so's Gert, and they're getting all the squirrel they can eat, I'm sure. So, content as they are today. So we see that the law is a compass for us, no doubt, to kind of give us guidance in our life. It gauges things for us, you know. It shows us where, ooh, wow. You know, not only is it a compass to give me guidance, but it shows me where I need to tweak some things out a little bit here. You know, it's a gauge. It kind of shows me where I'm redlining on something a little bit and get some things adjusted. And then also, it's a mirror. It reflects back for me where I'm really at, not just where I think I'm at. It's reflects. And we've talked about that, about the word itself. That the word reflects back for me, mirrors back for me who I really am, what I'm really all about, and shows me who I am. And it's good. We need that. Because when it mirrors back for me who I really am, it does exactly what the word and what the law, what the scriptures were meant to do. It drives me to my Savior. It leads me to my Savior. It reveals my desperate need of fellowship with my Lord. And that I have advocacy, that there is atonement. Sacrifice can be made, was made, and has been completed in the finished work of the cross. And I have that in Jesus. What a powerful thought. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 22 real quickly. Verse 34, Jesus being challenged here by the Pharisees after that he'd kind of quieted down the Sadducees. Verse 35, then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, saying, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Find out that out of Deuteronomy. This is the first and the great commandment, no doubt. That's the most important. What would we talk about? The first four commandments, your relationship with God. That's the most important thing. Then he says, the second is like it, though. He says, that's like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. All of the six encompass your relationship one to another. So you see how Jesus fulfilled these things. On these two commandments hang all the law. It's all hinged on that. And the prophets. All of it is hinged on these two concepts. Don't you love how Jesus has taken and broken down in simplicity for us the truth? He says it's all encompassed in these two thoughts. Man, I think for our benefit, it's so good to grasp things conceptually and keep it simple, keep it real, keep it something you can deal with and process and get your head around and your heart into and say, man, you know what? Keep God first. Love other people. That's really what pleases God. That's really my purpose in life. Love God and love other people. Anything outside of that, well, we're going into the question zone now. Now, this is questionable. If I love God and I'm loving other people, none of us can be too far off the beaten path, can we? God keeps it simple for us, keeps it direct. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. I know a lot of times as we listen to the Word, sometimes we really get convicted by God's Word. And you know, there's those times where we really need to repent and give our lives over to the Lord. The Bible, it says, for the wages of sin is death. You know, death is something, this destructive force, and it's this thing that, you know, our bodies are in this slow decay process. And you know, ultimately, we all are going to have a physical death, but spiritually, you don't have to die. We would die in our sin if not for the gift of God, and that's eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we want to receive that gift. We don't want to be paid the wages of our sin. We want to have everlasting life. And so you can pray this simple prayer of faith. If you've been, you know, listening and just hearing and just knowing that, man, God's tugging on your heart and you just know that there's something more to this life. Well, God wants to make himself real to you, just like he's done in my life as I was once troubled and struggling and distant from God, partying, trying to drown all my sorrows, as it were. But you know, the Lord is there and he loves you and wants to meet you right where you're at. Just pray this simple prayer along with me. It doesn't matter whether you're driving or out on a walk, just with your earbuds in, just in a place where you can listen on your computer, wherever you might be. If you're listening to this right now, you can pray this simple prayer and have everlasting life. Jesus, I want to ask that you'd forgive me of all my sin. I want to ask that you would come into my heart and be my personal Lord and Savior. I give my life to you. I don't want the wages of sin, which is death, but I want the gift of God, eternal life
in Christ Jesus, my Lord now. I'm thankful, Lord, for your forgiveness, and I just ask that, Lord, as I start this new life, you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, that my life might please you and bring you glory. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible-teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains. Jesus, God.